and Deb Rees, experts in business, leadership and lifestyle.
Skilling you softly to a successful you. Emotions are your value, and your value is your business. UK Health Radio.
We're up and running. Yes, you are you with myself, Paul Rees, on UK Health Radio. Bring it down, Paul. Bring it down. You're with an audience. You don't want these guys to run. Don't run, man. Grab yourself a herbal tea. Don't get a coffee. Herbal tea. Change your process of thought. Sit down and spend the next 52 minutes with myself. And do I have a guest for you? I'm not going to say too much, but Dan, she's got a great last name. I'm telling you, much better than the Rees of the Reeses, that's for sure. But it's great to be here. And yes, you are with Paul, UK Health Radio. And we are here blasting out no tunes, but philosophy for the next 52 minutes. Trust me, it's going to be absolutely awesome. Because I had a pre-call with this lovely guest a few weeks back. And you know what? Did we bang some philosophy about? We truly did. I mean, I made all the notes. I mean, doing my revision, research and preparation. Not really. Before the radio show. I don't need a prep. Do you know why? Because this lady completely resonates. We have the same kind of minds, although I feel hers much greater than mine. I'm sure. But you know what? It has been. It's been a funky couple of weeks. You know, I was in Ireland just a couple of weeks ago. Well, actually a week or so ago with a lovely Lee Tunney Ware. I mean, we were building and manifesting and designing so much out there. It was such a great deep dive, but no Guinness. I mean, he took me out, you know, for a meal or two, but he's a wine drinker. I mean, I don't mind a bit of wine now and then, but we're in Ireland, you know. Put me a jug of Guinness in front of me. Do you know what I mean? Didn't happen. So I came home Guinness free. I mean, on the ferry, I thought, should I have a Guinness on the ferry? No, it's early hours, I'd be driving. I come in and my wife had a can of Guinness on the table for me. So I had to come back to Wales to get a Guinness when I was in Ireland. Little bit of sane, little bit back to front, but you know what? Maybe it was a good thing. Who knows? But yeah, really interesting week. I mean, I've been without my laptop. I mean, this might sound a little bit general for the show, but I'm going to say it anyway. I was without my laptop for about 5 days. Man, it was weird. It was in the laptop hospital, as they say, you know, but it was really weird. I don't particularly want to live on my mobile phone, and I don't, you know, I don't get emails on there, made that purposeful, but being without the laptop, I think the first day the withdrawal symptoms were just waves of guilt. And I thought, hang about, Paul, why are you guilty because you've not got your laptop? Do you know what I mean? I almost felt, it felt odd. Not coming into the office and opening up my laptop, and then I had the wave of, oh my word, am I being loyal to myself? And it felt like I had been deceitful to someone. It felt like I had been deceitful. It was like, I can only imagine it. Like if I was unfaithful to my Deb, I can only imagine what that feeling would be like for me. Well, it felt like that. And I'm like, what is this about? You've not got a laptop. You feel you've been unfaithful. That is insane. That is insane. Let's remember, I don't run a business because I want to be guilty. I run a business so I can have a lifestyle freedom, which tells me I have a fair bit of work to do on myself. I really do. I mean, if you're feeling guilty because you've not opened your mobile phone or you've not opened your laptop, you want to go for some serious inner counseling. Serious inner counseling. Because trust me, my laptop doesn't have a heart, doesn't have a memory as such. I mean, it sits there, this piece of metal junk. How can that make me feel guilty, I wondered. I really give that some thought, you know what? And I'm still giving it thought. But here's the thing. It's so important to remember, they don't run your life, you do. They are. Remember, social media is designed to take, not to give. Social media is designed to absorb, take your energy, not give you energy. The laptop is the same. The laptop is completely reliant on your emotions to give it something for it to do something. So just be aware of those things. It's really important because trust me, by the third day, I was like my 10th day lying on the beach when finally you don't feel guilty anymore because you're on holidays. I mean, we all know that feeling. Don't go away for 7 days. It's not enough. To run your business, the first 7 days, you lie there on the beach feeling guilty of sin because you're not doing anything. It takes then the 8th, 9th and 10th day to think, whoa, I feel like a human being all over again. This feels odd. I've divorced the human doing of me. Exactly. Then you're the 13th and 14th day, you're into your holiday, you're going down on the sun lounge, and you think, wow. Then you think, darn it. Then you get anxiety because you've got to go back to work on the 15th day. It's taking just 2 days. Them last 2 days, the only days you relax. And that's how it felt. My fourth and fifth day without my laptop felt so great. And then I had that kind of back to school after holiday feel of, oh no, I'm gonna have my laptop back tomorrow, darn and blast it. I had that feel. So it's been such a mixed week for me. And do you know what? I wanted to bring that in because our guest today, I mean, she's such an analyzer of everything. I wanted to bring it in. I want to talk about all this kind of stuff that goes on, you know? Why do we feel guilty? Why are we digitally addicted to digital stuff? You know, why is social media such a anchor? I mean, come on, NLP, sort it out. You're all about anchors, do you know what I mean? Let's make it happen, innit? Okay, but without further ado, let me bring this beautiful guest there. And you know what? And I apologize because I had to cancel in the week. We were due to have the show on Monday. Boom! Laptop down. Happy days. And she's come in at early morning and all stuffed up with a cold and all the things that happens in life, you know. But she's come on all done up with a beautiful, like, kind of wristy kind of necklace going on here. I don't know what that wristband is. There's all kinds of stuff going on. And the nails are done. I can see the nails are done. There's everything going on there in the screen. Do you know what I mean? But let me bring it in. The wonderful, the amazing Anna Daphne. Coming in, girl, and thank you so much for coming on the show.
It's great to be here, Paul. Thank you for inviting me.
Ah, you're welcome, girl. You're welcome. I can see you're holding back. I know you are. I know you're holding back. I can feel it. I know if there was a couple of wines in there, you'd be dancing into the screen to me. It's great to see you, girl, and thank you for coming on the show. And here's the thing. We are right now a nation of coaches. Coaching
Yeah,
has
indeed.
become such an overdose. I'll say it that way, such an overdose. And you look at my backdrop, what's say Paul Rees business coach? I mean, really, it is. And the coaching, and I've said this so many times, the coaching industry is going through a turbulent time right now. But what I see here is you put on your notes, you got high performance coaching, coach, mentor. Do you know what? Anna, I would remove them, girl, because you're more than that. The word coach and the word mentor isn't enough for you. I mean, I've had conversations with you. Let me bring this in here. ADHD coaching. Let's just touch on that. Tell me about that, because you know what? ADHD, I feel, is not a negative. I feel it's a positive in life. Let's touch
Some
on it.
people perceive it as a liability.
Yes.
Some people see it as a gift. But the truth is, we live in a society that is not designed for distinct, as I call them, people, neurodiverse or neurodivergent people that have might have traits, diagnosis of attention deficit or dyslexia or ASD. Yeah, I love working with my clients, and I see that they think differently, and this world needs different thinking. So much at the moment.
I feel that when we think about, you know, when you talk about attention deficit, you know, neurodiversity and, you know, ADHD, all these things, I feel that I'm going to speak for myself because I'm very dyslexic. I feel there's ADHD in there somewhere because I can be on top of the world and then I can be lower than a snake's belly. I mean, I have. And I don't have an in between. I have something that's very high and functional, and that's where I'm at my best, or something very low, which is where I'm at my most developing. You know, my wife has lived with me for 20 years now, nearly, and she understands it more than what I do. As I guess I understand her. Deb has gone through the woman change. And I've really analysed and understand that about her, and I get it. And bless, you know, bless women. Us men have got it easy peasy, we really have. when we think about
maybe
think about you know how my how I can how emotionally shape shift. I emotionally shape shift, and sometimes Anna, I can be in the morning. I'm like, whoa, top of the world. Then all of a sudden, out of the blue like that, I can just dive. And I have to find my way out of a black hole is what it feels like. But I don't see it as a disablement in my emotional self. I don't see it as
that's
that.
Powerful.
You know?
Yeah.
And
I don't see it as a disability either.
Do you feel, though,
I don't.
That we are recognizing it more now in its professional sense?
It's diagnosed more and more. People are slowly becoming more aware, although still I believe both the educational system and the workplace are 50, 60 years behind. I would say obsolete, almost. Not everyone, but I work with a lot of people with ADHD, and most of them tell me they feel stupid because
yes.
they cannot understand or learn the specific way that they are taught at school. And we know that the school system has specific ways, set ways, structure ways that are different than if you're wired differently, you find very difficult to fit in this pigeonhole with your one foot and the other foot in your own universe of unicorns and whatever your imagination takes you to.
Wow,
Yeah.
I love that. I mean, what I found was, you know, for school for me, and we're going to touch into this if this is okay, because it's going to touch, hopefully it's going to touch our listeners and give them a deeper and a better understanding, and also assurance for those who have perhaps on the spectrum in there, you know, whatever it may be, is that, you know, school for me was a very bullying, lonely time. I am a twice suicide survivor from my school days, because of the lack of understanding to dyslexia, ADHD. And for myself, I'm at the age of 13 still trying to learn my times table. And I'm talking 1, 2 is 2, 2, 2 is 4, and so on. I was in the extreme, what they say was the remedial class. The extreme remedial class in comprehensive, which was in my late teens. And for that reason, I was constantly bullied and beaten. And there was no watch for that in schools in those days. And that's where I overdosed twice as a teenager. And, you know, this isn't a pity party sympathy vote year. This is an understanding that it wasn't in those days, being 55 years of age, it wasn't there. But what I do know is that I did want to learn. I did want to learn. I did want to feel I did want to learn how to absorb and recycle information. But there was no clear understanding. I was just labeled, you know, a child that was problematic. And that became my identity. I became a problematic child, is where we are.
Yeah.
But do you feel that even though we say, you know, the civvy world and the business world are behind, do you feel that education is seeing the importance of the shape of someone that has ADHD or dyslexia?
It depends on the school. It depends on the organization that people work at. If they are, their culture is neurodiversity friendly and the school is aware. But most of the times, what I see with my clients is that they are not aware, and they feel unseen and heard, missing important opportunities in life as well. And they feel that they will not do anything good with their lives because they are not worthy, because they are put in an environment that they cannot thrive at, which is a shame. And what I say to them is, you know, just go through GCSEs. That's the first gate. Then things will get easier. If you do A-levels, for example, you have less subjects. And then at university, if you want to go to university, you can choose something that you're very, very good at. You just have to push through the first gate. Things will get easier.
And when you say that, I really do appreciate it, but also it makes me anxious. I get anxiety when you talk about when you say, go through your GCSE, your GCSEs. I mean, my time, my time, it was called CSEs, and they weren't that. And to have to push through. I remember the days of the exams, on my final year in school. Wow, I spent most of the time just up in the fields hiding, smoking cigarettes, things you shouldn't be doing as a 15, 16-year-old. And I wasn't even missed. There wasn't even a look for Paul because his desk was empty, He was just considered someone that was a void in schooling. And coming back, when we think about, the ADHD and dyslexia and things. We look at the greats of our history, and many of them, thought differently, have that we could say tagline that's connected to who they are. I remember a teacher may I remember a teacher saying to me, "Sit down, boy, you'll go nowhere." Even my father calling me a very thick child. Thick, you're right, thick, he would say. And but the realization is,
Not nice.
we are not thick people at all. We're very intelligent. Very
In different
intelligent.
ways.
How do you find when your clients or your people you work with, what is the average age that's coming into your business, Anna, for you to work with?
I have children from 8 and above, adolescents from 13 and above, and I work with a lot with adults, professionals, business owners, and high achievers as well with neurodiversity. And I love working with people that have ADHD in particular because I relate to that as well. So yes,
Tell me about
most of
your.
them feel.
Sorry, I interrupted because it's my fault that you pause and then I come in. I do apologize. You keep going on, I love.
Because I do have ADHD traits as well, and I felt at school also I couldn't pay attention or organize my essays or had the performance anxiety. I did not do very well as I could in my exams. So it was very stressful. Very stressful.
Tell me, what does ADHD, how does that play out in yourself? What does that look like for you in your life?
Now I manage it, but it could be lack of focus if I'm not if I'm not interested in a task, is not intellectually stimulated, I cannot focus for a long time. I will move around, I will multitask. I'm not good at organizing, but I have found ways to organize my home, my desktop, and things like that. I used to have issues with emotional regulation. I was feeling very, very stressed when I had to sit tests and do exams and all of that. I couldn't manage that at all, especially as I was a teenager.
Yeah. Can I
That's
ask you
all
a
part of
question? Can I ask you a question? How has this played out in your personal life, do you feel? I'll
In
share
my
something with
practice.
you first. I mean, my personal life, I know that on my I've been married twice. I've been with Deb 20 years, and my first wife I was with maybe 10 years, but I knew going in there into my first marriage that I was making a decision that wasn't right for me. And not for her either, trust me, it was both ways. But there was lots of, I'm going to say, there was lots of decisions in those days that I was making in order to fit in to what was expected. And I found that my personal life, the early part of my personal life, before I do what I do, really had a lot of suffering. I was playing out a lot of triggers, from my early life also. And that's because I felt the decisions that people were making in their sort of normal civvy life just wasn't resonating with me, but I was following their style of decision making. So I found for me, it was only from the age of perhaps 35 onwards that I actually started making decisions for myself that actually resonated with me. That was my sort of experience. Because of course school didn't recognize my dyslexia or ADHD. How was it for you?
I think when I moved to from Greece to to the UK, I started becoming myself more and more. But before that, I was masking symptoms, and I was people pleasing a lot. I wanted to please my parents, to, you know, to be very good academically, very strong, to become a teacher. That was my first education. Then I moved to London and I studied psychology, coaching, etc. But when I moved to the UK, I started becoming and stepping into myself more and more.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah. So what, at what age did you feel that was for you when you started becoming more of who you are?
Recently. But it's progression. Since I moved here, I'm here for 11 years.
Wow. Isn't that, when you think about that, it's like, you know, we got into, well, for me, I say I was about 35 before I really started to experiencing the right of me in my life. And not continuing being punished because I wasn't educated, or continue being punished because my spelling is atrocious, atrocious. Me and spell check have quarrels every day, you know, and my maths are vacant. My maths are vacant, you know.
Mine as well.
but
yet, but you know, Paul,
no, you go.
I believe education is not only academic, it's how you make people feel and your personality, your character,
yeah,
and your outlook in life. So I really believe that, because not everyone is for to go to university. Some people are quit school and become businessmen. And so many instances, people with neurodiversity, we know that are successful businessmen. No.
Absolutely. It's not taking away school, but for me, school taught me what to think, not how to think. And it didn't teach me the right what to think. Again, I'm not attacking the educational system here, but I can truthfully say it wasn't ready for ADHD or dyslexia in any given way in my time. It wasn't at all. And usually here's what we're going to do, Anna Lev. We're going to jump into our first commercial. So listeners, we're going to plow into this and we'll be back in about 90 seconds or so. So when we come back in, we're going to have some contact details.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Happy days! And yes, you are back with myself, Paul Rees, on UK Health Radio, the place of health in mind, body, soul, and all the other things that make us up as human beings from the ingredients of the universe. Yes, can you imagine that? We're made up of the universe. Think about that.
Indeed.
Isn't that wild? When you think, Paul, you're made up of every piece somewhere from the universe. That is insane. But I absolutely love the idea of it also. I really do. And before we go any further, as promised, Anna Daphne, all the way from London, is going to call out her contact details so you can get hold of this beautiful coach. And actually, the word coach is too small. It's too small. The word mentor is too small for this person. We're going to have to think of something. I tell her, let's call her an emotional legacy. If you want to reach out to this emotional legacy, then what? Then how do we get hold of you, Anna Daphne, Miss Emotional Legacy?
You can find all information on my website at annadaphne.com. I have all my social media links there, and you can email me as well through the website. So that would be the easiest way, annadaphne.com.
So, Anna, it's D-A-F-N-A, Daphne.
Yeah.
Happy days, Anna. Anna Daphne, perfect. And we will have those details, of course, after the next commercial before you end the show. So if you didn't catch that, get your pen and paper ready. You should have it anyway. You know you should have your pen and paper on this show because you always take notes. Let's talk about something else that's connected to ADHD and all these beautiful things. Because I want to go into that. I'm going to make a note of that. I'm going to come back to that, okay? But if I come to you, tell me about your product. Tell me about how it is you would approach, you know, an individual. So I'm phoning you up, Anna, you know, I'm like ADHD, you know, I'm a professional entrepreneur. you know, but you know what? I'm really struggling with so many layers of myself. How do we start? What are your products, girl?
Yeah, so I work one-to-one with people, and we start with an evaluation of their executive function profile. What is that? So this is our executive skills, or our executive function skills are the CEO of the brain. These skills pertain to working memory, response inhibition, which is our self-control, emotional control, sustained attention, task initiation, goal-directed persistence, time management, planning, prioritizing, metacognition, which is our self-reflection. Metacognition, which is thinking about thinking, which is our self-reflection, how we become better, how we can do things differently next time, which is important, how to check our work before we submit it, all of that.
Wow, good.
So we check that.
Wow, no, keep going. It's like, I'm like, this is just beautiful.
Yeah. So everyone has challenges and strengths in these areas, but people with neurodiversity, these skills develop later in life anyway, take more time to develop this and might have more pronounced challenges. The good news is with coaching and repetition, you can change the structure of the brain, you can manage neurodiversity, and you can leverage your strength and manage these challenges. So we start with an evaluation of this profile, and then I go deep into their values and what their life principles, what fuels them up, what inspires them, because this is how I want to do the goal setting that comes after. So the client sets their own goals. I ask them questions about all areas of life. But basically, everyone is ready to work towards one or 20 goals, depending on their coaching readiness. So I work with their pace, but also challenge them to, you know, to push through their current minimum standard or limitation. So it starts with an evaluation of themselves as people, like executive function skills, values, and where they want to go in life. What's their vision? What's their vision beyond the vision? And
That is really detailed.
It's like that.
I mean, that's really detailed, yeah. Anna. I mean, what time of timeline would I have with you then? Is, do you have a set time, like 6 months, 12 months, 3 months? What was it, would I work with you if I was to come your way?
I would say to start with 3 months, for example, because as we know from research, people with neurodiversity take longer to build habits. So normally a habit depends on how difficult it is. They say 21 days, but for people with ADHD or dyslexia, for example, might take 66 reiterations, which means people with neurodiversity need neurodiversity-specific mentoring, coaching, and accountability, and the right repetition to build habits. And they need to be compassionate with themselves and patient, and show them themselves some love, not beat themselves up, which
now
is a lot.
That's a huge highlighter for me, showing yourself some love. That goes back to the part of the conversation we had where I got married my first time because I didn't have love for myself. I had panic, I had anxiety, I had stress. I had all those things that were the makeup of what I was, but I didn't have self-love. That only came when I met Deb. She taught me how to love me. She taught me what that felt like to love yourself and how that wasn't an egotistical thing to do. You know, I'm going to say my only purpose in life is to make Deb love Deb. That's my job in life, is to make my wife love my wife. And she makes her husband love her husband. And that organically everything has falls into place. That's a universal law. And that really, Anna, is what brought the essence and the importance of my dyslexia and ADHD to the front of my life, and the value of that to the front of my life.
But it took
35 years before I got there. And that, why I want to share that is, you know, my dyslexia is an emotional tag. It's mine. And nobody else has got what I have. It's my unique emotional fingerprint. But I couldn't see the value of that until I saw the value of me within that. not the value of that. Yeah. To me, the value of me within my dyslexia, within my ADHD. And Deb taught me the value of that just by making me love me. She never made me love her. She made me love me. And that, and there was no... Do you see how powerful that is? Because from that, it meant that I didn't owe her anything, but I had a choice. My choice was then to make her love her. And for everybody out there that has, you know, feels... For if you're feeling half the person you are because you've been labelled, or you have found that you have ADHD, dyslexia, imposter syndrome, and all these beautiful things. Remember I just said all these beautiful things, all these beautiful emotions are the makeup of your genetic emotional self. You have to love you for them to love you back. You have to love who you are for your ADHD, your dyslexia, your imposter syndrome to love you back. Because trust me, that none of these tags, none of these labels have any wish to not love you, to dislike you as a human being. They are dependent, though, on you loving you, for them to profit you in your life. And when I say profit you in your life, listeners, I'm not talking about money profit, that's different. I'm talking about life currency here. A life currency that comes from the sheer love of you to yourself. So your imposter syndrome, your ADHD, your dyslexia can reward you for everything that you are. Those emotions only wish to reward you. They do not wish to hold you back. They do not wish you to be labeled as a dysfunctional person. They want to show you that you have the greatest mind that this world can experience. But that cannot happen unless you love you first. What's your thoughts on that, Annika?
Yes, I agree. Accepting ourselves is the foundation of self-love, and embracing our differences and our unique way of thinking. The school wants us all to be the same, and in the school everyone wants to be the same, to feel cool. But when people leave school, they suddenly want to be different. How is that working? It doesn't make sense to my mind. If you're taught to be the same as everyone else, and then the people that are different thrive, because people the world needs different thinking now, how does it prepare you for life? Yeah. It doesn't make sense to me at all.
That is a whole can of worms that we could go in. We need to do a whole show on that one, Anna. That's a whole different, that's a whole can of worms. But let's talk about, now let's touch on this, because while we were in the middle of the commercial, of course, we have an opportunity to talk casually, as we are anyway, really. Yeah. But we talked about imposter syndrome. We touched on that. Now, you know, everybody sees imposter syndrome in a different way. Some see it as a weakness. Some see it as, you know, get over yourself, all these kinds of things. But imposter syndrome is an emotion of a million layers. You know, there are so many different layers that make up imposter syndrome, or that are part of your imposter syndrome. My imposter syndrome was I had to be in front of an audience. Figure that.
Yeah.
Because if I wasn't in front of an audience, my imposter syndrome grew. So mine's the opposite. Some people think you get imposter syndrome, that means you can't go in front of people. You struggle to be in front of an audience. Actually, mine's the other way. If I wasn't in front of an audience, I got imposter syndrome because of the lack. My imposter syndrome came with less people, not more people.
Right.
Do you see? So on a one-to-one in a room, my imposter syndrome grew. If I was in front of an audience, my imposter syndrome became less. So imposter syndrome, for me, I see there's lots of layers to it, different layers. And, you know, what's your thoughts? Because you talked about imposter syndrome. How was it for you?
People with ADHD have sometimes rejection sensitivity dysphoria. That means that they perceive themselves as being disliked by others, as lacking, as less of. And is there inner voice of, I'm not good enough.
Yeah.
I'm not worthy of love. I'm stupid, I'm lazy, all these labels that people say to us. And this becomes the inner monologue that runs the show. So it's very common, and we unpick it, reframe it, find evidence against it, write it down, and based on this, it slowly disappears. But it's not bad to acknowledge that part of you, because that's part of you, and just put it aside you. And just say, I hear you, but now the adult takes over. Just, I think it's important to accept that. And accept that's part of the condition as well.
Yeah, I hear you. It is, it's beautiful. And you said something there, you know, that being liked or being disliked is part of the, and for me, when I say that, I needed to be in front of an audience because I found it easier to be liked by a larger audience, and I had to work harder to be liked by one person. That's why my imposter syndrome grew if I was talking to one person, but got less because it was easier for me to be liked by an audience because of how I present myself from, I'm going to say, the synthetic part of me. You know, my first 10 years of business, I did fake it till you make it. And that took me into burnout because I wasn't myself. You know, my first 10 years were all America and Canada. That's where I did my apprenticeship. And that's basically on tour, all these things, because I was a professional medium also for many years and traveled all over the world as a professional medium. And, you know, so.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, you know, that for me in the audiences were resonated easy for me. But as a coach, I hid behind my suit for many years. Many years I hid behind my I hid behind my suit and hid behind my I'm gonna say philosophies that I didn't quite understand myself, but I just sounded good. I sounded good. And all it did was karma come in and bit me right in the bottom and said, okay, time for burnout. Time for yourself to now be true to yourself. And it did. It wiped me out for 3 months and taught me a lot. And I feel, do you feel, Anna, that, you know, those who have that ADHD and sort of dyslexia, emotional functioning within them, are prone for burnout because of the overdo, the over-need, perhaps? Do you find that is the case?
Yeah. Very common. Burnout and fatigue because students and professionals and business owners are masking symptoms. They want to be liked.
Yeah.
That's why they try so hard. They push themselves to the limit. They put a mask so people do not understand, and they collapse at home or completely, feel hopeless or on adrenaline all the time at work, and at home they collapse or get stuck or feel like that. Very, very common.
Wow.
Yeah.
That
has to do with the nervous system as well. Yeah.
Oh, tell me that. It has to do with the nervous system, do you say?
Yes. Some theories, polyvagal theory, for example, that is coined by Dr. Stephen Porges, who is a psychiatrist. Based on that theory, the polyvagal theory, that has to do with the vagus nerve, which is the longest nerve that stems from the brainstem behind our head until the end of the spine, regulates our emotions. So according to that theory, ADHD is a nervous system imbalance. So as bottom up, it comes from the body, from the system that affects the brain and the executive function of focusing, remembering things, doing things, finishing things, understanding time, being on time, all of that.
Wow. Anna, that is, again, that's so deep. I love your philosophies and I love your knowledge on how rounded you are within this. It is very beautiful. On that roundedness of this lesson, we're going to have to go into our second commercial, or I'm going to get a row of the station owner, our lovely Johan. So we're going to pop in and we'll be back in about, listen, I think it's more than 90 seconds, to be truthful. I think it's about 180 seconds. Who knows? But here we are. Let me put it on and let me jump back, and I'll see you in a bit for contact details.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Radio.
the station that makes you feel good.
Happy days, yes, and you with myself, Paul Rees at UK Health Radio. If you're only now just joining us, where have you been? Come on. You want to now click rewind, go right back to the beginning because you've missed a ton of golden nuggets with our guest today, Anna Duffner. Anna, thank you for being on the show. Before we go any further, please call out your contact details.
You can find me at my website, annaduffner.com. PH, with PH, my surname. I spell it.
There is. And, you know, on there, you'll find all the address. You'll find probably all the contact details you want. And we know, Anna, you are on LinkedIn. I see. Are you on Facebook also?
I'm on all social media, as we're expected as a business owner these days. And I have been pushed by my coach to be on all of them. So I'm doing it.
Do you have a YouTube channel?
I don't post that regularly. I'm mostly on LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook.
Well, do you know what? I'm already pining. Come on. Get your YouTube channel up and running. Let's hear your philosophies on there, girl. It's time that you add hundreds of thousands of followers because it's so important because you are bringing us back to human beings. That's what you're doing. Mm. You are removing the human doings and bringing us back to human beings. So come on, get that YouTube channel up and running. I want to be able to subscribe to Anna Duffner. Who wants to subscribe to Anna Duffner? I do. Let's make that happen, okay? It's so important. Just one video a week, every week for the next 10 years. And by the time you hit 6 years, YouTube will be paying you £100,000 a year. Trust me, it's very easy. I'm on there myself. You just got to get in there, girl.
I need to do one video per week. Okay.
There it is. Call to action. Everybody go to Anna Daphne's YouTube and she's going to do one video a week for us on her philosophies.
Put me on the spot. I know.
What's the worst you can do though, eh? What's the worst you can do? You can't get to me, but on the screen, do you know what I mean? Too bad. But how dare you not do the videos? You are right to have not to do the videos.
I do some videos, yes.
There it goes. Boom. We're in there. We're going to be looking out for it. We are. And Anna, you know, let me come back in because there's a lot to you. I got you, you know. So you written a book about how to manage and leverage ADHD. Also, you got awards. So most supportive ADHD and executive functioning coach by the Business Elite Awards. 23 Best Diversity and Inclusion Training and Best Leadership Development by Business Awards. 2021 Brains 500 Global Awards as one of the top leaders recognizes for their success, achievements, and dedication to helping others. I mean, girl, come on. You are a giver. Do you know what I mean? Recognize personal growth. You detach. I love how you detach from clients to be able to support them better. But I don't believe you detach in the way we use the word detach. Okay. So, I mean, there's loads on you. I mean, traveling, self-development, business development. Nah. Business development is too small of a word for you. Self-development is too small of a word. You are...
What's a better word?
I mean, you are a multiverse developer. Let's say that. You and let's call you an ultrapreneur from now on. You are an ultrapreneur, not an entrepreneur. Ultrapreneur. And all these things, you know what?
I'm making notes.
I missed that bit. Say it again, girl.
I'm making notes.
Are you making notes in your phone? Are you writing in your phone?
Yeah.
I mean, no.
Yes.
Pen to paper. Heart to paper. You know what I mean? Get yourself a Remarkable. And then you always write instead of type. Remove the typing.
True. That's a good one.
Listen, I have myself a Remarkable. I only write. I don't type anymore. It's not worth it, listeners. You don't get enough out of you. How can you put your emotions into a keyboard? A keyboard is a dead item. That's why you put heart to paper. Heart to paper. Do you know what? This has been good for. Let me ask one thing before we kind of finish up then, Anna. If there was one piece of advice, and I don't want this to be a cheesy kind of thing, you know, but I want to ask it because I really do appreciate you. I value your mind and heart. Though if there's someone out there struggling through the young part of their life and they feel there's something wrong, how do we approach life? You know, what was the one piece of advice you could give that I wasn't given? What do you think that could be?
Put yourself into environments that you will thrive, and how you feel about yourself will change. Your identity will be shaped differently.
Wow. At what point did you start loving you again?
I think since I moved to London, and every year I love myself more. I'm becoming more of who I really am.
Isn't it crazy when we have to wait almost half our life, for me anyway, before we realize the importance of self-love? And this is a bit I find odd, is that we are born with it in abundance. Otherwise, we'd not push even out of the womb. We'd stay in. We're born with self-love. We're born with gratitude. We're born with motivation. We're born with success. All these ingredients are in us in its fullest capacity. But I believe if we come out quoting Einstein, our parents would just dissolve with a lack of function and self-belief themselves. So we get dumbed down as human beings. We really do. But you know what?
These are the things.
It is fabulous.
These are the things.
It's fabulous, Anna, to have this opportunity to gel our somewhat dysfunctional but yet hugely intelligent labels that people put on us. It's been absolutely amazing. You know, Anna Daphna, you will find our listeners, because there's not many Anna Daphnas out there. I doubt it. You will find her. Give me that website again, please, love.
It's annadaphna.com.
Annadaphna.com. It can't be any more simpler than that. Anna, it's been an absolute deep dive pleasure being on this radio show with you today. I do value so much your philosophies and business. And look out for the legacy ADHD formula, because I know it's coming. Look out for the YouTube channel, because that's happening too.
Thank you, Paul. It was amazing speaking with you.
Happy days, listeners. Until this time next week, we're going to say boom. Bye for now. Emotion.